Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Friday, the 8th of March, 2024. King Henry VIII is recognized as the head of the Church of England in 1521. The policy that the monarch is the head of that church body continues to this day. The idea of an organized church in nearly all cases works towards two ends. It almost always places the leaders on a supposed spiritual pillar, while at the same time overlooks human weakness in them. Henry VIII was no saint. Neither have been many of the popes. Second, and maybe more importantly, they tend to put God on a higher pedestal and at a distance from the common man. And the phenomenon is not linked to large ornate churches. I would like to forget, I have heard sermons to a handful of people proclaiming, "You cannot be more spiritual than your pastor." My read of the New Testament is quite clear. The priesthood was abolished. Each man has direct access to God. The pastor is a mentor or shepherd, not an intermediary. The New Testament is also clear that believers should gather with and fellowship other believers. Someone in the colonies anonymously publishes a pamphlet entitled African Slavery in America in 1775. This is the first recorded call for the emancipation of slaves and the abolition of the institution in this country. Pennsylvania militiamen are the bad guys in 1782. They attack a group of Indians for raids carried out by other tribes in eastern Ohio. The New York Stock Exchange is founded in 1817. We don't often go through where our coins come from. Most are struck in Denver, but there have been a list of government mints, often connected to gold rushes in regions of the nation. The first was in the early 1830s in Georgia and South Carolina. The original Philadelphia Mint refined gold and struck gold coins. On this day, in 1838, the New Orleans Mint begins operating, striking dimes. We could have a long discussion of coin values versus precious metals. The original charter for a U.S. Mint was that cents and half-cents would be copper, half-dimes, dimes, quarters, half-dollars, and dollar coins would be silver, and three coins in gold that we no longer use. A gold eagle had a value of $10. There was a half and quarter eagle also. Recall, paper money was less common than today, as was electronic transactions. The gold eagle contained a bit more than a half troy ounce of pure gold. The value of one is about $1,127 today. Can you say inflation? That is the reason we had half cents. It is also the reason we do not have coins in valuable metals today either. If a penny was still 95% copper as they once were, the copper value would be on the order of 2.5 cents, or 2.5 times its face value. Not all coins minted have been popular. Canada has had a dollar coin for years, but they're not popular here. One particular dollar coin was quite ill-conceived. The Susan B. Anthony dollar was too similar to a quarter to be practical and often confused. Namesake Susan B. Anthony advocated for women's rights to vote. On this day in 1884, she addresses a House committee in support of a constitutional amendment to allow that right. The first stock car race is held on the sands of Daytona Beach, Florida, in 1936. The course was half down Highway A1A and the other half back up the beach. The Volkswagen bus begins production in 1950. The first combat troops arrive in Vietnam on this day in 1965. 3,500 Marines tasked with defense of the airbase at Da Nang. The number will swell to 200,000 by the end of the year. It might be a worthy study, if possible, to look back at events in the decade prior with perfect hindsight and not colored by bias. President Kennedy's handling might have been bumbling, much like events in Cuba, but Johnson seemed to want a fight. The compact disc is demonstrated on this day in 1979, a major breakthrough in quality, portability, and ruggedness. President Reagan brands the Soviet Union an empire of evil in 1983. It has been 10 years since Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared on a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. Nothing of the flight has been found. The news today is comments on last night's speech by the president. My short attention span will not tolerate most any political speech, and especially the propaganda the current one spews. Now, in all honesty, every political speech is biased and slanted. The minute or so I listened was pure verbal fertilizer. Unfortunately, that stuff will not even grow weeds. The president was speaking on his views of the abortion debate. I find the left's debate tactics to be disingenuous. They will pull out the extreme hardship cases, yet when it comes time to vote on a bill, refuse to support any restrictions on the killing of a baby up to the moment of birth, and some have gone so far as to suggest postpartum abortions. Rape, incest, and extreme medical cases are an extremely small number, yet they are the poster cases in the debate. During the Roe era, the United States killed on the order of 52 million babies. That is the population of every city from New York City to Lexington, Kentucky, the 60 largest cities in the country. Line up seven of your friends. The nation has killed the eighth. So, when the president talks about the current restrictions like some gross human rights violation, I'm not impressed in a positive way. And of course, we had to hear the mantra, pay their fair share. Folks, that argument is straight out of the Marxist playbook. It's called class warfare. The average citizen is too poorly educated to understand the progressive tax system that we have and is being manipulated for nefarious ends. While you're searching the internet, go over to the IRS site and look at historical data. The top 10% of those paying taxes are paying roughly 80% of the government's income. A very large portion of the population, basically the lower half, are paying nothing. The more taxable income you have, not gross income, but taxable income, the more you pay. The first $11,000, everyone pays 10%. The next bracket, up to $44,700, you pay 12%, more, not less. The third bracket goes from $44,700 to $95,000. Everyone pays 22% on that portion. The pattern continues for four more brackets. The top level is for any taxable income above $578,000. Those folks will be giving 37% to the government. Now, those figures are for the single-payer tables, but the pattern is the same for the others. Personally, I like to think a flat tax would be quite fair. Of course, none of this includes state income, property taxes, or sales and fuel taxes. The pay their fair share line is pure guano. Look that up in your Funkin' Waggle. That's history and comment for the 8th day of March. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.